The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, this is Peter Baltus from Accept, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Talking Metal, the worldwide podcast for all you serious metalheads out there, is available for download now from TalkingMetal.com. Catch the hard-hitting and controversial interviews. Metal artists such as Brandon Small, the master behind Metalocalypse, and Bill Milano from SOD. Brought to you by the podcast creators Mark Striegel and John Astronomy, these fortnightly sessions are not to be missed. Talking Metal, available for download now from TalkingMetal.com.
Hey guys, John Astronomy here. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We got a great show for you tonight. This one features an interview Mark and I conducted with Peter Baltus from Accept, one of my favorite groups. First saw those guys back in 1984, March 4th, 1984, Stanley Theater, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That is coming up. So anyway, guys, I am broadcasting or podcasting or whatever the heck you want to call it from the Chelsea Pierce Skate Park. I'm hanging out here with my brother Eric and his friend Ernie, and this is a pretty cool skate park, man. I'll tell you the truth, it's all cement, and it's just ramps and some really high stuff, man. I mean, you could really get hurt here if you don't know what you're doing. You guys remember I was once in a skateboarding disaster. There's a bunch of kids here as well as some adults, some stoner-looking dudes, some parents. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, at the top of the podcast, you heard a really cool radio promo done by our friend and Talking Metal listener, Nick Bexley from Australia. Very, very cool, Nick. Thanks for putting that together. It sounds awesome. You also heard a little bit of Balls to the Wall, since we are once again featuring Peter Baltus of Accept on this podcast. We'll get to that in a little bit, guys, but you know what I'm about to talk about, man. We are just devastated by the passing of the great Ronnie James Dio. Literally, you can't even say anything, you know, that hasn't already been said about Dio. He is a legend. He is the best, or one of the best, if not the best, heavy metal singer around. He was there from the beginning, and he was just one awesome musician and great guy. I had an opportunity to meet him once. We're going to put a picture of Mark and Dio. Mark had met him before as well, way back in the day, which was a great, great classic old picture of Mark and Mr. Ronnie James Dio. So check that out in today's show notes. And the best thing that we can do is keep Dio's music alive. And if you don't have all of his records, go out and buy them now. It's something where you can't really consider yourself a fan of heavy metal if you don't have all of the Dio catalog. And I'm talking about his catalog with Black Sabbath, with Dio, with Rainbow, and with anything else you can find that Ronnie James Dio is on. So anyway, why don't we hear a little medley of a couple of Dio tracks. Mark, suggested we play Evil Eyes. So why don't we start out with a little Evil Eyes and end with a little Last in Line, both from The Last in Line. This is Ronnie James Dio. Was a little medley, two-song medley of some Ronnie James Dio music. He will be missed. I first heard about it because my friend Mike Lincoln texted me on Sunday when it happened, and then I called Mark, who had just also heard about it, and shortly after that I spoke with Ace Frehley, who had asked me if I heard about it, and we all were reminiscing about how sad it was and how great Dio was. So let's keep his music alive. Okay. So, guys, we're going to move on to a happier subject right now. Then we're going to get into a little Accept. But first, I want to tell you guys about a new album that I got, and it is by our friend John Five, who is going to be featured on an upcoming edition of Talking Metal. He has a brand new album out. It's called The Art of Malice, and John Five is insane. He's one of these guys like Bumblefoot that are just unbelievable, that can do things that I don't know if I could ever do on the guitar. Maybe if I started practicing like 50 hours a day. Who knows? So anyway, I almost got hit by a skateboard, guys. That's why I was hesitating, and it turns out it was Eric who basically almost ran me down. I was looking the other way, and literally, guys, there were like 50 to 100 kids skateboarding. Back to John 5. The Art of Malice is a great, great album. I want to play a couple of tunes. It starts out with a track called The Nightmare Unravels. And then I want to follow it up with a little bit of the cover of Fractured Mirror by Ace. Hey, Eric. How you doing, man?
What is this?
This is Talking Metal. We were just talking about John 5, but I was also telling him about how you are skating insanely in this skate park, man. Tell us a little bit about this park.
This park is sick. It just opened up last Monday, and I'm very happy to be here to skate it. Can you get me a drink now, please?
Yes, I can. After I tape this segment, I'll go get you a drink, okay? How's that sound?
Good.
Okay. That was Eric. He is skating like a maniac here at the skate park. And anyway, back to John 5. He duplicated this sound, which I thought was made with, if it wasn't a Korg guitar synth, it was definitely some old-style 70s guitar synth. And John 5 figured out how to duplicate that sound, and it's just awesome. So right now, let's hear a little bit from John 5's The Art of Malice. Hey guys, that was a little bit from John 5 from his brand new album, The Art of Malice. 60 Cycle Hum Records is the label, and our good friends over at Rocket Science Ventures, Mr. Matt Larson, is also involved, providing full support for John 5's record. Let's get into Accept. Accept is a band that I've been a fan of since, you know, way back when. The first time I saw them was 1984, March 4th to be exact. They were opening up for Kiss Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My parents took me to the show. Unfortunately, I made them sit two rows behind because my friends and I thought we were too cool. We didn't want anybody to think our parents had to bring us to the gig. Now I like it when my parents go to gigs because, as you know, they're friends with Ace and some of the other guys in the Ace family. So I feel bad that I made them sit two rows behind us, but it was a great show. Lick It Up tour, Accept was great. Kiss was great. We all wore our tour shirts for the next 2-3 days. We started out with this sleeveless Accept shirt, which is pretty cool. We saved our Kiss shirts for the second day after the show. Anyway, guys, we hooked up with Mr. Peter Baltus at the Gramercy Theater in New York, New York. Accept put on a great show. They started out with Midnight Mover and the first couple of tunes. Let me see if I can remember. Fast as a Shark was one of them. And we cannot forget our good friend Mark Tornillo is now the new vocalist of Accept, and we jammed with him at the Screaming Metal gig. He was awesome. He's not like an Udo copy, but he can do those Udo songs and sound great, and then he can sound like himself on new tracks like The Abyss, which we're going to hear a little bit later. But why don't we start out with a classic Accept tune? Let's hear some Love Child from the album Balls to the Wall from 1983. Then we'll go into the interview with Peter Baltus, where you will hear a lot of cool stuff about the recording of this album, about how they hooked up with Mark, and just some classic Accept stories. And then after that, we will hear the exclusive world podcast premiere of the new Accept track, The Abyss. Guys, thanks for tuning in once again to another edition of Talking Metal. Visit us at www.talkingmetal.com, twitter.com/talkingmetal, youtube.com/talkingmetal. Look for us on iTunes. Thank you, guys. Right now, this is Love Child by Accept from 1983's Balls to the Wall. Hey, it's John Astronomy from Talking Metal. We are here at the Gramercy Theater with Peter Baltus of Accept. How are you, Peter?
Terrific, man. Thank you very much.
Peter, thanks for joining us. We want to get right into the stuff that Accept is working on now, which is Blood of the Nations. And Andy Sneap, how is it working with him? He's a real famous heavy metal producer known for some extreme sounds from bands like Arch Enemy, Megadeth, right? Testament.
Well, it was really interesting. We got in contact with Andy through a friend of ours in Florida, and we were starting to write some songs, me and Wolf, and we had no idea who we were going to take as a producer, and we got all of a sudden a call from Andy, said, I would love to do the album, and we were like, who's this? We didn't know who he was, so we looked it up, and we were like, oh, this is cool. So Andy came to Nashville for the first time, and we listened to some stuff that me and Wolf wrote at the time, and it was an interesting thing, because he said, this is not Accept. This is you and Wolf, but it's not Accept. And he sat us down and said, let's sit down for a couple of days and listen to all the old records from the beginning, from Breaker on, first song to the last song. And we did that. And he said, I'm going to point out all the things for me as a fan that make Accept special. These are the classic things. This is the things that whatever we think, oh, this is Accept. And then we try to go back and capture that somehow. And we did that, and then we scrapped most of the songs we wrote at that point. We kept one and started over in April. And that's how we worked. And it was really cool. We had Mark there, you know, who could sing like Udo sang when he was 20 years old, high range. So, like, it was easy for us to kind of go back and say, well, this is cool. We didn't have to worry about a single or anything. You just let's write songs the way we want them to write them. They're longer. They have more parts. You know, you riff on the riff a little bit. Nobody's telling you, hey, it should be 3 minutes because MTV says somebody says, you know, can't do it. And that's how it came about. So Andy became a big part of the band, almost like a fifth member, and great guy to work with. You know, we were very, very fortunate.
Now, regarding the writing process, Mark Tornillo has such a great range that you weren't limited to try to write songs with a certain vocal range in mind.
Well, that's true. You know, in the old days, we could just have a riff go, and Udo would just put a killer scream on it, and that in itself would make, like, the moment. You know, it didn't have to be the riff, and then, okay, here starts the verse. You know, we could just, it would kick from the get-go. And, you know, last couple of albums with Udo, it just wasn't that, it wasn't there anymore. And with Mark, all of a sudden, we have this. So we could say, we started out here, he puts a big scream in, and we run right into this part. And then he has the ability to sing really clean and soft. So in the, if you listen to The Abyss, there's a middle part in there where he sings with a clean voice and then goes right from there into this monster scream. And, you know, knowing that, oh, he can't do this. We actually, that's why we put this part in the song, because that would be really cool to have some really, you know, the song is about, you know, the end of the world and how it used to be, and that little part resembles the good times in life. You know, everything's going well, and but it's not going to stay that way. And then comes this scream, and it ramps it into the solo part. So, from the writing perspective, it was phenomenal.
Let's talk about Mark, your new singer. Where did you guys meet, and how did he come into the fold? And were you familiar with his old work?
Wolf came 2005. We did a festival tour, and then I haven't seen him since. You know, he's a photographer. I write TV and radio spots and stuff. I live in Pennsylvania. He lives in Nashville. He had something to do up there. He came, stayed at my house for a day or two, and we started, you know, naturally, go in the basement and play a little bit. And I said, wouldn't it be cool to just jam a little bit? So I called a friend of mine, Surefire Studios in Long Branch, and a drummer friend, and said, just drum a little bit and play together, how that feels. And we played, and at that point, you know, we said, wish we had a singer. Damn, we had a singer, you know. Because Udo said flat out, he's not interested. So Joey, the guy from the studio, said, why don't you call Mark? I said, Mark who? He said, Mark Tornillo, no idea, T.T. Quick. And then it clicked, T.T., I remember T.T. Quick, but it was so long ago. So he actually called somebody who called Mark Tornillo and said, hey, Peter Baltus wants to talk to you. And Mark said, yeah, you're just pulling my chain. But anyway, we got in contact, and he came down to jam with us. And he was really sick. He hadn't sang for a long time. And he came down, and there was a vocal booth, and I said, go in there. We play in here. Set your mic up. We got in the headphones. We start playing balls, Flash Rocking Man. And I look over, and he takes his shirt off, and he looks like, that looks like Bon Scott in there, man. And
great.
He sings, and he's going. And while he's singing, I look over to Wolf, and Wolf's eyebrows went up. I'm like, boy, what do you think? You think of what I'm thinking? I'm like, yeah. So there was never a thought of bringing the band. You know, he just stopped by my house. We said, you know, that's what we do. We play, but at that moment, we called Garby and we said, listen, I think we got something which is just, it fits. You know, we don't never have to look for 1,000 singers, audition 5,000 tapes, fly somebody in from L.A., none of that. This is what we needed 30 years ago.
You know, and it's amazing that he's right there, like in proximity of you.
Right. You know, and it was like, we made that decision right there. Within hours, you know, we said, we got a band. Now we got to just find the other guys. That was a couple of phone calls. And we're in business. I mean, it's almost like a miracle. It doesn't happen like this in the business world. Usually everybody has an axe to grind, or it's like my lawyer calls your lawyer on the bullshit. This was like the old days, you know. A handshake, you're in. I was like crazy.
Mark's voice, his voice may not be associated with the known Accept sound. I mean, there was a different, well, you guys did actually have two singers, come to think of it. But Udo, his voice is so, you know, characteristic, and people expect that from Accept. The new single is out, The Abyss. How are the hardcore fans reacting to Mark's voice on that song?
You know, this is an interesting thing I want to tell this, because when it all started, when we posted Flash Rock Man and Balls to the Wall, which we recorded at that session when he was sick, you know, we put it on the web, just very naive, you know, so I want people to hear this. We were excited. And the reaction mostly was, it doesn't sound like Udo, he sucks, yeah, Udo, no, Udo, no, except. And then, long and behold, The Abyss comes out, and everything has changed. Everybody's like,
We didn't know, man. This kicks ass. This is even better. This guy can scream. And he sounds like Udo back then. And then, you know, they realized, and we realized too, he puts his own spin on it. So we basically were so lucky to find somebody who now gives Accept a new identity. Maybe like a 20th century identity, you know, where you get the old,
right,
but you give it with a cutting edge new sound, which is kind of cool. You know, if you're a fan, I mean, there's nothing written in stone that it always has to be the same. If I'm a fan of a band,
right,
I want them to progress and come up with new stuff, you know. And after 10, 15 albums, it's kind of hard. So
right,
having a new singer, bringing in new blood, you know, it's almost like opening the veins, you know, and just getting some leeches on, sucking the old stuff out and get some new stuff in. That's how we feel. And then fans are coming around and they're like, everywhere. You know, last night on Eddie Trunk, we premiered Teutonic Terror, which is the video comes out on Monday, and you know, everybody loves it. I think we did exactly right.
Right.
Tell us about the video. Where was this shot? Who directed it?
Video was shot with a friend of ours, David Blas, who works. He's a production manager for the band, for the show Justified, which is an FX show, a really good show. And he was such a big Accept fan, you know, and he said, if I ever can be part of this, I want to do the video.
Right.
And we're like, okay, that would be cool. And he said, I'll set it all up. I'll do it all. Don't worry about it. You come to L.A. And he was like a little kid in a candy store. Like, oh, my God, my guys are coming.
The set looks unbelievable.
And he said, first, you know, he said, you know, what are we going to do with them? You know, we do this a storyline and this. And then he said, you know what? Me as a fan, all I want to do is see the band in an awesome setting, play a song. I want to see them. I don't want to see a story, a girl or nothing, a horse. I want them. So he found this Navy Army scrapyard, basically. There's old World War II tanks, there's helicopters, there's rockets, there's you name it, it's there. And he set up this awesome set, and we flew to L.A., and we had a blast. I mean, we had detonation. It was everything. Wolf is playing it. I'm not going to tell you. You see it on Monday. But if there ever was a video, metal.
You can't get any more metal
than
this video.
You got to show me. It was amazing. So we're very, very, very fortunate to have David on board and his company. And, you know, it premieres on Monday, and then you be the judge.
To me, with the addition of Mark and seeing how the band is feeling, it feels like a rebirth and feels like you guys are having just as much fun as you had back when Accept formed originally.
You know, in the beginning, there was a certain amount of, you know, are we doing the right thing here? You know, we're just doing this. But as it progressed, as we start writing songs, they were like, oh, man, they could get this one. And this one. Check this one out. We were like digging it, you know. And over the years, you kind of lose that you dig your own stuff.
Right.
And I was talking to Eddie last night. We've realized how many bands never listen back to their own record. You know, that you don't. You forget because you play them on the road. You forget how good you were, what the good things were that you did. So by Andy doing this, we all of a sudden started realizing, yeah, we were really cool, man. We, you know, we didn't realize how cool Fast as a Shark was. It was the first thrash song ever.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh, man.
I can hear influences. When I was listening to Fast as a Shark today, I can hear other bands now that were influenced by,
sure,
Fast as a Shark. Even my own musicianship. There are things that I do, and it's coming back to me that came from Fast as a Shark.
It is amazing. It makes you feel old for a moment, but no, it is pretty amazing. And you know, we're very, very excited. We have so many things going for us. We've been gone for 15 years. We really do appreciate everything we have, everything that's given to us, all these fans. I mean, we have fans for this show. There's fans flying in from Puerto Rico, the southern Mexico, Toronto, Los Angeles, Germany, you name it. And everybody is like,
wow,
it's an event. It's like, I got forms. I got letters that I'm packed. That was last Thursday.
Wow.
I'm packed. I'm ready to go.
I'm
ready to go. I'm listening to a Breaker 50 times. I got to make sure I know all the lyrics. And I'm like,
wow,
the fans are preparing themselves the way we do.
Right.
So it should be a slaughter fest tonight. It should be water on the walls.
Can you talk about who's currently in the band? Obviously, you, Wolf, and Mark, but who else?
Herman Frank, who played on Restless and Wild and was gone from Balls of the Wall. And Stefan Schwarzman, who was a drummer in Stefan Kaufmann couldn't drum anymore, and then he went back. Udo did some Crocus stuff, and he's back. And he played, I have to say this, because he played really, really well. You know, he didn't get a chance to play on a lot of albums, but this one he just put his heart in, and we're very proud of him.
Now, Herman came back for some of the festivals you guys did back in maybe 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago.
Stefan, they both played on these festivals. 2005, we headlined about 20 festivals with Udo. And, you know, they were going so well, we thought, you know, we have to be idiots not to continue.
Right.
But that was in the back. You know, Udo didn't want to do it, and it wasn't like it is now that we're all excited. It was like,
right.
It's cool. The fans are nice. We like it. But it would have been almost, looking back now, it would have been like a lukewarm thing. Now it's a full, fledged Hellfire thing. We're like, we're on fire.
It's totally psyched.
Totally different. Totally different. I'm glad it didn't work out in a way, you know, because sometimes you one door shuts, another opens.
Back in the day, though, were there other, you know, there's been rumors that you guys had issues with Udo a lot, even back in the day. You obviously did one record without him back then, but I was reading somewhere that even before Balls to the Wall, there was a rumor that he had quit the band and then was back. Are any of those true?
Udo started the band when he was, very young, and then Wolf joined and I joined. And all the albums were basically written by me, Wolf, and Stefan. You know, and we had to write the things for Udo to sing. And he had a great voice, but for some reason, I don't know what it was, he was never really with us. He was always on the outside. He was, I'm leaving. He always had that little thing going, to keep us in check. And it, over the years, it came to the point where we're like, come on, man, we're a band, and you're not just one guy. And we're all in this together, and it just, I don't know, it was a marriage gone bad. Basically, and there's not much more you can say to it. I wish him all the best, truly. I love the guy. We all wish him the best, honestly. And he has a great thing going with this band, and sometimes it's time to move on in things and start something new, Even though a fan say, no, we'll do it back, it doesn't work. Even if he would come back, you wouldn't be happy because it was a lukewarm dish.
Speaking of vocals and songwriting, there was something that I heard that you were able to make up back in the day, English-sounding kind of just like nonsensical words when you were writing, and it was a talent that only you had. Explain that.
Well, it was like type of a gibberish. So, and I still do it. If I write a song today, I sing something, and it's like, one, two, three, like a drum and rowing. It's just the way it sounds, and then sometimes, something sounds perfect on a certain riff. Another word wouldn't fit. So, and then I would look, what did I sing there? And then we would write the lyrics, and Gabby wrote the lyrics. Okay, it sounds like this. What would make sense? Try this, And then we would present it to Udo, and he would sing it. But I had to make all this up all these years, In the beginning, none of us really spoke English. We had English in Germany. Udo never spoke English. Never. I mean, it took him years. He never had no idea what he was singing. So that's why in the beginning, when we wrote the lyrics, they didn't make any sense. It was just, it sounds like this. All right, write this, I mean, Lady Lou. Well, the world is Lady Lou. But, that's how it started.
It's great. Man, what a talent, man. You got it.
The first time I ever saw Accept was on the Power Slave Tour, Iron Maiden, at Poplar Creek, Illinois. Any good memories from that tour? Any bad memories?
No, actually, I have to say Maiden was really cool. We came to America, I forget, but we opened, first time we came to America, Rockefeller Center for 3 days press, and then Hartford, Connecticut opening for Kiss, the Unmasked Tour. And for us, I mean, we're little German kids, all right? We come in there, it's Kiss, and it's like Gene Simmons took us under his wings and stuff, and not allowed to step on the tank
right.
Wheel things, and I stepped on ones, and I got the look. But we learned so much from Kiss. And then going on with Maiden, we learned so much about working the crowd. And then we went out with Ozzy. So, these were all the three building blocks for us. The first one was Priest, actually, in Europe. These four were the building block for us where we learned. We just took it all in. Maiden was just a blast. I mean, we watched Maiden every night. Still do. They were such a great band. And it fit. It was a good time for metal. It was a good time for European metal. And I hope they come back.
I first saw you guys March 4th, 1984, on the Kiss Tour in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was a place called the Stanley Theater. It was a really cool place, and I remember the next day, all of my friends, my parents took us, but we made them sit two rows behind us because we were too cool to be with the family. And the very next day, we all decided we weren't going to wear the Kiss shirts, no offense to Kiss, but we all wore the Accept sleeveless gray T-shirts.
I know. It's. I appreciate that very much. We were very fortunate. When we did the first Priest tour, nobody knew where we were. It said actually Attack on the tickets.
Oh, wow.
We were Attack. We had no banner or nothing. Nobody even knew where we were. But from every time we played a show, the word ran ahead of time to the next gig. These kids are amazing. We had no shirts on, just jeans, boots, no shirts, all of us. So we're just standing there in one spot. But, we played and we rocked and Fast as a Shark and Breaker, and these people had never heard stuff like this, And the combination between Priest and us – it just fit. And the same on Maiden and Kiss, you know. We had this underground thing, and all of a sudden it broke open. I think we're still some sort of an underground band, you know, for a lot of musicians. You know, this cool thing was always down there, you know. So
good deal.
Peter, one last question for you. We were out at Don Dokken's studio a couple of years ago and did a nice sit-down interview with him. Any memories of working with Don?
Don is a very nice guy. He's a very talented guy, really cool. And, you know, what I always regret that he had that fallout with George Lynch. I think the band was the best when these two were together. Like Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth, there's certain things that fit. And, you know, he was a great guy. We played. We had a great band. Mickey D was the drummer, and John Norum and Billy White, who lives in Mexico. It was a great time. But in the end, looking back, it wasn't my style of music. Right. You know, I had 2 great years and we toured. But, you know, I wish he would just go back with George and get it over with.
Cool. Well, Peter, thanks very much for hanging out with us today on Talking Metal, and we're all looking forward to the show tonight, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take it! You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.